And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I am saying this show, whoo, goes like from Huntsville all the way back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I mean all the way down to the loveliest little town on the plains called Auburn and straight across to what it's actually called Fort Benning again. Fort Benning. And then the big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. All right, this is the time of the week where we pause. We pause from the politics, the cultural debates and the discussions. We pause from the diatribes and from all that is otherwise known as culturally right conservative discussion. And we just talk about sports, although every once in a while it all comes back to the same stuff. But anyway, we like to do a little segment here we call JP on sports, and he's got a perfect sound effect. Play it!
JP on sports!
It still cracks me up.
It is a great sound effect.
It is a great sound effect. It's his very own groupies. All right, so we do this in two rounds. For those who are not familiar, JP truly is a guru of sports. We're going to do the first round. It's called the three and out. He has three top three stories he believes are out there in sports world. And then we come back from the break and we do the two-minute warnings. 2 minutes against everything he wants to talk about. I got a timer and a buzzer. 3 minutes or three and out. Go.
So two of the three and out is obviously going to be March Madness. That is the story in the sports world right now. So starting yesterday and then going into Sunday, the first two rounds of March Madness have been underway. And we saw Auburn yesterday get a convincing win over Alabama State to move on to the next round. And then we saw Alabama today also get a win for them as well. But first, going into Auburn, Auburn will next be playing Creighton at 6:10 tomorrow night Central Time. They will be playing Creighton, who is the 9 seed. This, I don't know, I think Auburn will still handily beat this one, but Creighton's kind of a sneaky team in there. You know, they just beat Louisville, who, you know, granted Louisville is not that great, but they just beat Louisville when they played in Lexington. So it was like 80% Louisville crowd there for the game too. So pretty much a home game for Louisville, but Creighton still came out pretty handedly. But like I said, it's a scary Creighton team in terms of, you know, they shoot the three ball well. They got a very experienced coach who's been there, done that with the March Madness tournament. So although it is 1 versus 9, and I do think Auburn is still the much better team, it's not a cupcake by any means. And I feel like no game in March Madness is a cupcake game. So yeah, Auburn will be moving on to play Creighton in the next round, and we'll see if Creighton can make it interesting. But right now I got Auburn winning it pretty convincingly as well.
So Creighton beating Louisville, that was what, number 8, number 9?
8-9, and Creighton killed them. They won 89-75.
Yeah.
So it was a pretty convincing win for Creighton. You know, like I said, although they're a 9 seed, they just, you know, they got scrappy dudes, they got a coach, you know, experienced coach, so they're not a gimme, you know. It's not going to be a cupcake game.
It's not called March Madness for nothing.
Yeah, exactly. It's not for nothing, though. But to beat the number one overall seed, Creighton would have to play absolutely perfect, and then Auburn would have to have a lot of stuff not go their way. So I think right now I'm don't expect an upset in this one.
All right, there's number one. What's number two?
So I said earlier, Alabama got a win earlier today just as the show started. Although it was closer than Bama fans would have liked, it was 81-90, and it was pretty much back and forth until the last 2 minutes of the game. Grant Nelson coming into this game was questionable with a knee injury that he had in the SEC tournament, and then Oates pretty much said pregame that he's available if we need him, but we don't expect to play him. And so we get to about the 6-minute mark in this one, and it's a close game, and apparently Grant Nelson is the one that went up to coach and told him to put him in. So Grant Nelson was able to come in at the end and help Alabama win the game, but it was a positive sign to see that Grant Nelson was able to come in and play well with that knee injury. So hopefully that's a good sign moving forward that the injury won't be something that inhibits Nelson at all. But Alabama will be moving on to play the winner of Vanderbilt-St. Mary's, which is at half right now. Vanderbilt's up 29-22. Vandy played Alabama earlier in the year where Alabama won by more than 20. So that's Alabama's had experience against Vanderbilt. But St. Mary's, you know, they're that school that they play in the same conference as Gonzaga. Gonzaga. I can't remember the top of my head, but they're always, I feel like they're always like a 7-5 seed in the tournament, and they're always upset. Like, they're ready to upset anybody, I feel like. They're a scary team every year. So as an Alabama fan, I'm hoping that Alabama gets Vanderbilt in the next round. But yeah, you know, we'll see. Mark Sears had a good game today as well with 22 points. So he's playing at the top of his game right now. Moving forward, you know, I would say don't look at the Robert Morris game as much of an Alabama play bad as much as Robert Morris played very well. And Alabama's defense could have been better, obviously, but it's just Robert Morris was a scrappy team. They had everything to play for. It looked like they came more ready to play than Alabama did. So I'm not too worried about Alabama moving forward, especially with Grant Nelson healthy enough to play. So yeah, we'll see who wins this game between Vanderbilt and St. Mary's. But right now, it looks like even with a close game, I wouldn't be too concerned if I was an Alabama fan.
It's what they got to watch for is these lower teams like Creighton, McNeese or whatever.
Yeah.
They come in, they play up.
Yep.
They play up, but the bigger teams got to be careful of not playing down.
Yes. And that's why it's called March Madness.
There you go.
They always, you know, the schools tend to play down to their opponent. So we'll see. That may have been the case with Alabama today as well, but maybe they saw the scare of it being close. They won't do that moving forward.
Yeah.
We'll see.
All right, that's 2 out of 3. You got 5 minutes left, dude. Yeah. What you gonna do?
Well,
I got a
pretty passionate topic here in terms of this annoyed the stew out of me this week, and uh-oh. I know I saw it. You're gonna talk about it later in the show as well with this Jackie Robinson malicious compliance.
Geez. It's actually on the screen. They were talking about it a moment ago while you were talking.
You know, can I just say it drives me nuts when every sports commentator decides to become a political commentator because they're all bad at it. They're all awful. They are all awful at it. And they always love to jump at any chance they can to talk about politics. And they're just always dead wrong. And this was another example of that. So for those who don't know, with the DOD took down temporarily Jackie Robinson's page on the DOD website talking about his story when he served in World War II, and then almost immediately put it back up. And we saw a similar situation with the Tuskegee Airmen with the DEI stuff where it was taken down, and then Katie Britt brought it to Hegseth's attention, and he said how it was a mistake, we'll fix it right away. And this looks like another example of that, of malicious compliance in terms of somebody in there thought, well, I'll show them, you know, abiding by the rules in a sense that obviously, and the DOD sent a letter to Fox News saying that this is not what we intended, to take down Jackie Robinson's, you know, page on our website, the DOD website. So, you know, obviously Jackie Robinson is a staple in not only sports, but cultural history in America. You know, Jackie Robinson, he was the first black MLB player, but he wasn't just the first black MLB player. He was really, like, a really, really good MLB player. This is Jackie Robinson Day for a reason, where everybody wears 42 in the MLB. Like, nobody on either side of the aisle is, you know, against Jackie Robinson. But that's, I think, this malicious compliance of somebody in the DOD was trying to make a statement with this, taking down his post. And that just started the chain of sports, you know, commentators. Mina Kimes was the one that really drove me nuts. You know, Mina Kimes is like ESPN's darling in terms of she does, anytime she talks politics, it's always something woke, and it's always, you know, she's the perfect example of spouting what ESPN wants her to spout, if that makes sense. Like, she's always on the side of, you know, she went on the show, I can't remember the name of the show, Around the Horn, which is about to be done, by the way, and decided to talk about how Jackie Robinson's history will not be erased. DEI will not erase history. And it's like, do they not know they immediately put it back up? They're acting like it's still down. They're like, you know, if it was still down and Hegseth was standing by this, that'd be one thing. But they openly said it was a mistake, but that's not stopping sports commentators like Mina Kimes, who are saying that, you know, Trump's trying to erase history, yada, yada, yada. Stephen A. Smith said the same thing on First Take, talking about how, you know, Hegseth and Trump are wanting to erase history with this, and also offered to debate Trump and Hegseth on DEI. I'm sure they have much more important stuff to do than go on ESPN and do that. But yeah, this one really bugged me, because there's nobody on the Republican side, sports fan or non-sports fan, that is against Jackie Robinson. It's just, it doesn't exist. Like, they don't exist. I've never seen anybody out there that is vouching for Jackie Robinson Day to end, claiming Jackie Robinson's DEI. That's not the case at all. So I'm tired of seeing sports commentators use their platform to talk about stuff they know nothing about, because they all act like they know, they're the political commentator. They know nothing. They have no idea what they're talking about. The only person I'm okay with that a little bit is Stephen A. Smith, because he's a bit more educated on politics, and he just signed a contract to talk politics and sports on ESPN. So I'm okay with him, even though I disagree with him. But, you know, Mina Kimes and a bunch of the other, you know, commentators, the talking heads that, well, I'm going to use this moment to be a social justice warrior, when you're just dead wrong. It's just, I would like politics to be out of sports talk pretty much completely, I'll say.
But then what would you do?
What would I do? You know, I spend my whole day on politics. When I turn on ESPN, I don't want to hear any more of it. I'm ready to hear about sports. And I'm not ready to hear Mina Kimes go on her, you know, little tirade there when she's dead wrong.
We got about a minute left. What do you think? Is Stephen A. going to run for president?
No, I don't think so. I think he's enjoying, you know, pulling everybody along.
He can't afford the pay cut.
No, he can't. I think he wouldn't ruin his perfect life right now. $100 million contract he just signed with ESPN. He's not going to leave that to go do that. But like I said, I think he's using this to keep his name in the headlines, and I think he's enjoying it. I mean, he's making the rounds on not only sports but also political podcasts. Like, he's got the best of both worlds right now. I think if he ran for president, he would be leaving all that behind.
Fair enough. All right, that's the three and out. Two on basketball and one on please stop yammering about things you know nothing about, to include malicious compliance.
Yep, pretty much.
All right, brother, take it to a break. We'll come right back for round number two of JP on Sports. This one will be called the 2-minute warning. I've got a buzzer and a timer, and we'll just keep it going. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Making common sense like a superpower. All right, we're going to go do now the second round of JP on Sports. And we get my timer ready, because this one is what we call the 2-minute warning. I actually have a timer. I keep it going for 2 minutes at a time. We have a buzzer when he runs out of time. Any topic in the world he wants to talk about, give me 1 second there, brother. I'm getting my... Where's my clock? I can't find my... There it is. Okay, hang on a second. Just let the old man have a second. I see you over there. All right, the clock is ready. Start.
So I'm going to kill two birds with one stone here, because there were two controversies in terms of teams and the tournament. One was a team that got in that shouldn't have gotten in, and then one team that was invited to the NIT, and then the NIT was like, oops, sorry. So first, UNC got into the tournament with a lot of controversy, because let me just tell you, West Virginia, Indiana, and a handful of other teams were much more qualified to be in the tournament than UNC. UNC was 1-11 in quad one games, and yet still got in. But the main controversy is that UNC's AD is the chair of the selection committee, and claims that he, you know, left the room for the wink wink for when they made the decision. But I find that hard to believe. But also, the controversy comes with, he got a big pay boost with the UNC making the tournament.
Oh, nice.
So that probably...
did not know that part.
That probably goes along with it. But then also, South Alabama for the NIT.
My alma mater.
Yeah, they got invited, and then the NIT was like, sorry, never mind, and then took the... After South Alabama already accepted, by the way. So they claimed that, I think it was Western Kentucky was planning on playing in something other than the NIT. Then Western Kentucky changed their mind, so then they had to get South Alabama out. The bottom line is, if South Alabama accepted, you can't take that away. I feel like that's...
Thank you.
That's just Bush League to do that. And South Alabama put out a statement not really condemning, but just really saying how disappointed they were that their players got screwed out of that. So two very controversial, one team that got in that shouldn't, and a team that did not get in that should have gotten into the NIT. It's embarrassing. Both of them are equally embarrassing.
All right, you came in under the wire on that one. Let me reset the clock for the next 2-minute round. And by the way, I completely agree.
Yeah.
Ready, go.
So there's the we're going to merge politics and sports again for this one. I don't know if you saw that Conor McGregor is running for president of Ireland.
I did.
He officially announced that earlier this week. So Conor was at the White House earlier this week to talk to Trump about Irish issues. Well, it was St. Patrick's Day, but apparently he met with Hegseth, RFK, and Trump while his time there. And he's been flirting with a run for Irish president for a while now. But, you know, Connor's one of my OG heroes in sports, and I've followed Connor for a long time. I take everything he says with a grain of salt. He says a lot of stuff, but he officially declared that he's running, so we'll see if he backs it up right now. But right now, he's got an 11% chance of winning, according to Polymarket. So that's up against actual politicians. He's been very vocal about Ireland's immigration policy, claiming that the wide open borders of Ireland are being overrun and Ireland's no longer safe. And just a simple clip of him saying that in front of the podium at the White House got, like, I think 60 million views. Oh, so wow. It appears that a lot of Ireland's people agree with Connor, even though Connor got hammered by the Irish politicians.
How many of
those
60 million were Irish, though?
Probably a lot. I mean, I don't know exactly how many of them were Irish, but, I mean, he was wearing a Make Ireland Great Again hat there, too. So I think there's a lot of Irish citizens that agree with Connor and tired of their, you know, country being overwhelmed by illegal immigrants. But like I said, the Irish politicians really went hard after him, so I think that means he struck a nerve, and there's probably a little part of them that's kind of scared of him. You know, I mean, you got this captivating Irish celebrity who, you know, is beloved by his country, and if he's talking about the matters that Irish people agree with, you know, I've seen what Conor can do in the UFC in terms of getting all the fans to go along with him. Who knows when he runs for president?
Ah, right up to the buzzer. Okay, reset the clock. Next one on the 2-minute warning. Ready, go.
So college baseball is also in full swing right now, kind of being overlooked by March Madness. But there's a lot of great SEC baseball teams right now. We got Tennessee being one, Texas A&M being one. Alabama has gone on a crazy run in baseball right now. Auburn was in the top 25. They dropped a couple of games, so they're just outside the bubble right now. But Alabama and Tennessee are having their series that started last night. Number one Tennessee going up against number 12 Alabama at Alabama. Alabama got the win last night 6-5. They'll play game two tonight and then game three going into Saturday right now. But a lot of people are not, let me say it this way, a lot of Alabama fans aren't paying enough attention to this Alabama baseball team. Alabama right now has the best baseball record that they've had in years, like decades. They're currently, I think, 26-1 right now, and they're currently the 12th seed. They just beat the number one team, Tennessee. So look out for Alabama in baseball. Alabama has not had a good baseball team in a long, long time, but they got Rob Vaughn down there, his second year as Alabama coach, and they're looking to make a run right now. They're about to go through the gauntlet of SEC baseball schedule, but look out for Alabama right now in the college baseball world. But also, you know, we talked about SEC dominating in basketball. They always dominate in baseball, and it's looking to be the same right now. I think they have, 6-7 teams in the top 25 for baseball right now, and Alabama being one of them going up the ranks there. So look out for Alabama when it comes towards the end of the year. We'll see how they do through the SEC gauntlet schedule, but right now it looks like Alabama's a team that's kind of under the radar, a sneaky, scary team to beat. So we'll see if they win the series against Tennessee as well.
You got about 10 seconds left on that one, so you beat the buzzer. All right,
just barely.
Reset it. What do you got? How much time you got?
We got about 20 seconds there.
Take what you got.
Well, we'll see. I don't know. I think I've covered pretty much everything.
I'll tell you real quick. Tom from Tanner, Alabama, texted in, said, I doubt Stephen A. Smith has the guts to debate Charlie Kirk about DEI.
I don't know if Stephen A. has the guts to debate. Well, I say that. He might. I mean, I don't know. I don't think he would win, but he might be willing to. If Charlie Kirk was willing to talk to him about it, we'll see. I for sure would watch that.
I think it'd be a hoot.
That would be a hoot.
It would be an absolute hoot. I'd pay money for a ticket.
Yeah, I would too.
All right. Good job, man. JP on sports. And by the way, you can hear him tomorrow morning on the Ump out of Huntsville doing Off the Bench and his own podcast right here at Right Side Media called Out of Right Field. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.